Welcome to the Maximize Your Potential podcast, where we demonstrate that you have unlimited potential. And when you maximize it every day, you will lead a life of happiness and fulfillment.
Well, hello and welcome to our joint podcasts once again. So it's Lead from the Driver's Seat with my good friend Al Rattan and Maximize Your Potential with myself, Chris Baker. And we've been talking about leadership, and we've been talking about last week, emotional intelligence, which is an amazing subject and one that I'm sure we'll come back to again at a future date, because it is really fascinating. But what I wanted to talk about tonight and have a discussion about tonight was, yesterday at work, one of my team came to me and said, "Hey, Chris, what advice would you give a graduate?" I was like, "Well, okay, yeah." And so, and before I could say anything, she said, "Okay, but don't just give the cliched sort of like responses that everybody would give." So I don't know. Okay, so the first answer I gave her was this. It was, tell the graduate to learn and identify what they love to do, and then find a way that they can do that and earn a living doing that.
Mm-hmm. What's that saying, Chris? Is it, if you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life?
Right. Which is is not true, but it is true, right? So you actually, what happens is, you actually, to me, in my experience, when you're doing what you love, like we do with this, right? We're doing this, we love it. We're not being paid for doing this. We just love it. We do it every week. What happens in my experience is that you actually tend to work more than you do if you don't like doing something, but it doesn't feel like work because you're enjoying it. All right. So that's my take on that. What do you think?
And I love that, because, you know, and one thing that you've always been quick to point out to me when I maybe get a little bit off track in life and start looking at the financial picture end of things, you're always quick to point out, and I love this about you, my friend, is just that, hey, focus on serving, focus on adding value, and the money will come.
Yep.
And I think that's so, yes, you know what, if you are doing what you love, it is work. You do put a little extra effort in. I mean, you and I are working on some other projects right now that is over and above our regular stuff, but we do it because we love it, right? Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you've shared the example before, and we've talked about it before, about reaping what you sow, right? So this is all where I believe with this. And again, it's with my team, right? I've been with this team for actually 9 months now, and all the work that I've done by earning their trust and building that trust over the last 9 months, I'm now starting to see the seed, the sort of shoots of those seeds that I've been sowing. And this, that, you know, Kelly coming and asking me this question, to me, was one of those things, because she obviously understands me enough to know that I love this type of of question, right? And I love developing others. So
you're gonna get the answer to these questions, Chris.
Right. So she asked me this question. I gave her that answer. She says, "Oh, that's good." She says, "Well, let me show." She gave me then a little card, which had 2, 4, 6, 8 start of 8 sentences on there that it was asking. And she said, "This is what I've got to fill in for my I think it's her niece." And I said, "Okay, give it to me, and I'll let me answer those overnight. I'll do it, take it as homework, and then I'll give it you back in the morning and see what you think." And she said, "Oh, will you do that?" I said, "Absolutely, I will." So, you know, I thought it was a great opportunity for us to talk about this tonight, because we're both passionate about developing others and helping others. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, and listeners know that helping the youth again is, and emerging leaders is one of my passions as well. So these 8 things, well, we'll go through one at a time. The first one, yeah, it says, advice for the graduate. It says, don't be afraid to. And then it's fill in the blanks.
Right.
And what I wrote on this one was, don't be afraid to be yourself and do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't be afraid to be yourself and do what you want to do. And the reason I put that is that too many of us, particularly youngsters, are trying to live out somebody else's view of what they want them to do, right? They're trying to please other people, whether it's their parents or their peers or their teachers or whatever, right? They're not taught. We've talked about this again before, and when we talk about finding your why, they're not taught to think about or taught how to think. They're not taught to think and identify what they love to do and what their passions are.
Mm-hmm.
We're just told what to do, right? Like it would be graduate high school, go to college.
Yeah. Work hard, get a good education, get a good job, and then you know, die at 75, right?
Like exactly. So what would your advice be on don't be afraid to on this one?
You know what? It definitely ties in, but the first word that popped to mind when I read this is don't be afraid to take some risks.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And because you know what? Anything worthwhile doing in life, it really is, you know, you're taking a risk at attempting to do most things of value, right?
Yep.
Even if it is, I want to be a doctor. Okay, great. Well, you're going to take a risk of investing $100,000 in medical school with the hopes that you'll pass. And actually, at least I don't know what it is. I'm an old guy and I never went to medical school, so I have no idea how much it costs. But the thing is, you know, with the risk of getting 4 years into the program and realizing, man, this is not what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to take some risks, right? Chris and I took a risk, started a podcast, right? We're building a following. Chris and I took a risk and we joined the Maxwell Leadership Organization and get mentored by John Maxwell and help other leaders grow themselves. Everything worthwhile doing, John says, everything worthwhile doing is uphill, right?
Yeah.
It involves a little bit of a risk. So that was the first word that came to my mind when I read that.
No, I think that's a great one. And again, there's that saying, no risk, no reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think you have to put yourself out there. And, you know, many people would say there, don't be afraid to fail and so on. There's also, again, they're more of the cliched ones, right? So we're trying to be a little bit more descriptive in these. So the second one is be prepared to, right? Be prepared to. You go first on this one, Al. What did you think for that one?
Yeah, you know what? I would, and again, and this could actually go further down the list, you know, when you don't allow yourself to part, which is the next one, but be prepared to. I'm trying to put this into words, but be prepared to defend your dream.
Yeah.
Is where I'm going, right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying not to be the cliche answer, but there are people out there that are going to come along and say, hey, you know what? You know what I really want to do? I really want to do this. And we call them dream thieves. They swoop in and go, oh, that's dumb. That's stupid. That ties in with the risk end of things and to be yourself and to do what you want, right? Be prepared to deal with the dream thieves. And you know, you don't need to defend your dreams to anyone else.
Correct. Yeah. And that follows on from being yourself and do what you want to do. Right. And I had be prepared to face criticism from others who don't try. Right. Mm-hmm. Again, fitting in alongside yours, because in, you know, John Maxwell's Put Your Dream to the Test. And in my book, you know, 10 Steps to Freedom, we talk about how there are people that will try and knock you down and stop you from doing something because they don't want to take that risk and do something themselves. So they want to hold you back because if you go forward, it makes them feel worse.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. So, excuse me again, it's really identifying who you should take advice and criticism from. Right. And to take that from somebody that is either on the same path as you or has been on that path, is a little bit ahead of you, or in a coach or a trainer like ourselves that wants to encourage you, all right? Do not take criticism or advice from people who are not prepared to do things themselves and take risks themselves.
Yeah, exactly. I agree, Chris. That's great.
The next one is always keep. And I have always keep looking forward, not back. All right. And again, I use this in teachings where we talk about the windshield on a car is so much bigger than the rear view mirror.
Absolutely.
Right. The reason is we should spend far more time looking forward than we do looking back.
The sad thing.
Yeah.
the flip side of that, the sad thing is far too many people are carrying around the baggage or looking in the rearview mirror at life and the mistakes or the missteps or the heartbreaks or the disappointments and focusing on that instead of focusing on what's before them, which is unlimited possibilities, really.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And that's what we, you know, I'm not saying that you shouldn't ever reflect on what you've done. You should, right? I'm a big one for reflection and learning from those mistakes. That's how you move forward. But you don't stop there, right? You learn and you test and adjust and you go again. And that's how you grow. That's how you keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. And if you're always looking back, what happens is you don't see the opportunities that are right in front of you. Mm-hmm. Right? People say, "Oh, well, if only I had the luck of this, or if only I was in the right place at the right time." Well, you were. You just didn't see it because you weren't looking. Right? You weren't aware of it all. So, ready for it.
For always keep, and I know this is going to sound cliche, but I think it's very important. Is always keep learning, right? And I think that it's in one of John's books. I can't remember which one, but there's some statistics about how few people, like once they leave college or once they leave high school, like never enter a library again or never open or read a book again.
Yeah.
Right. And I actually know a lot of people that's like, "Oh, I've never read a book." Right.
Well, I can tell you, I left school at 17. Right. And I don't think I maybe read some novels when I was on holiday on a beach or by the pool. But until I joined the John Maxwell team in 2017, and at that point I was 51 years old, I hadn't seriously read a book since I was 17, right? So what's that, 34 years? And now since 2017 to now, in those 5 years, it will be 5 years actually in August, I've read probably 100 books.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It's crazy, right? I own more than 100 books now. Yeah, so.
Me too. I've got bookcase over there. But here's the thing. And so if you're listening and you're a grad or a younger person than Chris or I, because we're both, you know, older than a half a century. It sounds really old when you say that, eh? Take some advice from the two old guys. We feel very young and we don't act old. But anyways, take some advice from the guys that you're listening to right now and read some books, pick up some books, listen to some podcasts, watch some YouTube videos to continue to develop yourself. Again, I don't want to be, you know, quote John all night long here, but again, it says too, right? In one of his books, you know, if you're not, you can't expect it's too late to prepare once you get the promotion or once you get the job, right? You need to be developing yourself and growing yourself and making yourself valuable to the companies you're working for by developing yourself personally and professionally. So I think that, it's great. Thanks. Yeah.
It's true. Most people that you talk to will say, "Oh, when I become a leader, I'll do that." Right.
Too late.
Do it now. Right. Be the person you want to become. Be that person and act that way. I was always taught to dress for the job you want, not the job you've got.
Man, I agree, right? And I've interviewed many of people through my career in retail. And if somebody comes in shorts and a t-shirt, the interview is over before it starts, or sweatpants and sandals, right? I'm sorry. But I mean, I'll tell you one story. I went in for a job interview. This is like late 90s. And we'd recently moved, and I went into this, met this guy at this retail store, the owner of the store, and I walk in a shirt and tie, right? That's how you went to a job interview.
Right.
Yeah. All you young folks, "Oh, it's old fashioned. Okay. But at least dress, you know, business casual, right? Nice pair of pants, nice shirt, right? Which is fine, right? In today's culture. But back then I was taught you wear a shirt and tie. So I wore a shirt and tie to the interview, and he comes out of the warehouse and he's in jeans and a t-shirt and all dirty. And he was working hard. Right. He goes, "We don't wear ties here." Right. Like, that was his first comment. I was off. Okay. So second interview, I wore a nice shirt, nice pair of dress pants, and didn't wear a tie, but I got the job, by the way. But anyways, that's dress for success, folks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, we off topic. Yeah.
No, that's not. It's all on topic. I mean, the fourth one here is don't allow yourself to. And again, I've sort of tied this in a little bit with the number two, right? But don't allow yourself to be dragged down by others.
Right.
You know, we know Jim Rohn says that we become the average of the five people we associate with the most. Right. And this is where I looked at this, because if you associate with people who don't want to try and have got no ambition and just drift through life, like we've talked about before, that's what you'll end up being yourself. Right. Whereas if you associate with people that are on a growth path, that are on a leadership development, that are showing ambition and drive, you'll become that too. All right. So don't allow yourself to be dragged down by others.
That's good. And I don't know if I can actually think of anything. I mean, you've got some really good answers, and you know, let's face it, Chris and I are like-minded individuals. So a lot of his answers are resonating with me. Yeah. And I don't really think I could think of anything better. Right. But don't allow yourself to be dragged down by others.
Let me ask you this, Al, right? You've like myself, you've been working like 30 plus years now, which seems scary, right? But during your sort of time, let's say from when you were like an early teenager to now, have you found yourself in a situation where you realized that you were becoming someone you didn't want to be because of the people you were with?
Sorry, you cut out there briefly. Could you please repeat that question?
Yes. So during your from your teenage years to now,
yes.
Have you ever found a time when you were becoming someone you didn't want to be
because
of the people you were associating with?
You know what? And I would say that it wasn't even so much associating with, because I don't want to, so it came to a point at one job when I start, and I don't necessarily mean it was associating with people. I think it was just the season I was at in my life and everything else that was going on in my life at the time. I found myself getting very angry at people on my team.
Yep.
Very easily. And they didn't really deserve for me to be angry with them so easily. Right. And it came down to the fact that I was very dissatisfied with where I was, the job I was doing, the compensation I was getting, the stress I was under, I'd spent so many years in big box retail. And I think I was coming to a point of burnout. And I don't, and again, not necessarily the people I was associating with, although that did have something to do with it, but I took that opportunity to apply for and work for the corporate head office of this company versus a retail store, frontline store. And I did that for 3 years, and it completely re-energized and recharged me. I needed a change of pace and scenery and the people I was seeing on a regular basis. And, you know, I'm grateful that I recognized in myself that I needed to move.
Yeah.
I needed to change because if I hadn't, I would have damaged my team.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyways, sure. I know that sort of doesn't answer the question, but that's the thing that came to mind immediately.
It does. And that's the thing, right? There's many people that would not recognize that and would allow that to continue. Right. And they spiral down. And then we get into the stage where we're blaming everybody else, where in actual fact, we can do something about it. Right.
Right.
And so that's really where I'm at there is again, we all have control over our future and our destiny. If we choose to take that control.
Yeah, exactly. It really is up to you.
It's within our power. Yeah,
absolutely.
The next one is be open to, right? And again, there's a plethora of answers we can give for this one, but I put be open to feedback, right? Mm-hmm. Because feedback and reflecting on the feedback that you get is how you grow. And what I find out, and you probably find the same, is when I talk to people before they get to know my style and how I work, when you talk about feedback, they automatically think criticism.
Absolutely. Right?
They automatically think that you're telling them they're doing something wrong. And I'm like, no, feedback is a gift. Feedback is about learning and growing. And feedback can be positive. It should always be constructive, right? So even if you're telling somebody that, hey, you know, I saw you do this and you know, help me understand your thinking behind it. And then go on to explain, maybe there's a better way of doing this. How about if we do X, Y, Z? So feedback to me is a gift. You got to be open to it, to giving it and receiving it.
100%. And again, that key is being open to it, receiving it as the point of how can I grow from this, right? And I used to always use the word constructive criticism or that combination of words. And one person pointed out to me one day, and I was like, this makes a lot of sense. He goes, Al, what does construct mean? Oh, I said, to build. And what does criticize mean? And I'm like, well, really, if you're looking at it, it's to tear down. So he said, like, that those two words cannot go. So if you're using constructive criticism, stop, right? Stop.
Yeah.
Do some constructive feedback. You're not there to criticize. You're there to help the person grow. Mm-hmm. And as the person receiving the feedback, be open with some humility, put the ego aside and be willing to accept that what the person is saying to you could be valid and help you have greater success in life.
Yeah. And this, again, we could tie this in a little bit to the emotional intelligence that we were talking about last week, right? And, you know, when you had your results and first of all, you felt a little bit like offended, right? But as you then started to read through it and talk through it, you realized what it was doing. And, you know, you kind of, where you gave me an assessment. We haven't done the feedback session yet, but we will. And when I got the results and I was looking through mine, I could see similar things to what you were saying. But when I look at it, I go, okay, yeah, that's fair. And I realize that, right? So, so then it's what do you do to learn and grow from it?
Yeah, that's the EQI 2.0 assessment, and it is a priceless tool if you will take it to heart, read what it says, do a debrief with a certified coach like I am, and take that and go out and grow. It's a priceless tool. But you're right, and I'm glad you see some value in it, and I'm looking forward to having our little debrief chat.
Yeah.
Ours will be a little bit more less formal than I will with a client, but
we'll have a conversation. Whatever. It's cool.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. We've got three left and we're up 22 minutes. So
yeah, we should at least do this.
The next one is, I hope you always, I put believe in yourself. All right.
Yeah.
We have to do that. You know, low self-esteem, lack of self-belief is a big challenge within our society, more so now than ever. So again, I hope you always believe in yourself. And then, you
know what? Sorry, I know we want to cut this off, but I just want to encourage people out there today, you know, like don't look at that, you know, this is what I should, don't compare yourself to the people on social media showing only the best. Okay. To those influencers and those supermodels and those airbrushed people and all this stuff, be yourself, be authentic, accept who you are, love who you are and love others, and life will be okay.
It will be better than okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will be better than okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
And the next one is, I hope you don't. All right. And I love this one. I hope you don't accept that being average is okay.
Yeah, man.
All right. Man. Don't accept that being average is okay. And it is interesting because I, you know, I showed Vicky these earlier and talked through that. And she said, well, the thing is, if everybody, you know, they'll always be average. And I went, they will. But if everybody strives for excellence, that level of average will go up.
Exactly.
And the fact that we're striving for excellence.
Waiting on a bell curve, right?
Right. We're not settling for average. We're striving for excellence and we're driving the average up. So think about it in your retail store, right, Al? If you've got if the average salesperson sells, I don't know, like 10 units a week, right? We're just plucking figures out of the sky. The average sells 10 a week, but everybody increased their sales by one. The average is going to go up to 11 per week, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's got to be better for your store, better for the individuals. It's better for your customers because they're getting better service. So, you know, don't settle for average. Don't believe that average is okay. Average is a bad A word. And then
erase that from your vocabulary. Delete it from your dictionary and don't use average.
Yeah.
And I think that people that, you know, like, and again, we hear that word settle when we think average, right?
Yeah.
I'm okay with this, you know, this job. I'm okay with that. You know, don't settle for that. Always be on a path of growth, right? Yeah. And if you're content in life, then that's great. Be content, but you don't have to be content and average. That's not the same thing. All right.
Last piece of advice is live the best life you can with no regrets.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
All right. Because most people live in fear of failure. I say no, live in fear of regret.
Absolutely.
Right? So all of those things. And you know, guys, if you're listening to this, this is advice for graduates, but to be honest, this is advice for everybody.
For everybody.
Absolutely. You know, whether you're a teenager, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, it doesn't matter. This advice applies to all of you.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'll put those... You know, I'll put the questions in and maybe put those answers in the notes with the podcast, right? And we'll put them on the, if you're watching on social media, you know, maybe or listening on there in the comments below, put what you think, right?
Yeah,
put which piece of advice stood out to you, right? Or share your advice. You know, this is about you, and we want to develop you and help you to be the best you can be, and not settle for average, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if there's advice that we didn't talk about tonight and you have a piece of advice for a grad or anybody else out there, leave it in the comments as well, because we would love to learn from you. We don't know it all.
We would. And again, if you've got advice for Al and myself.
Yeah. What do you want us to hear talk about? We've got like decades of experience in industry of, you know, retail and car sales and leadership and training and development. And we would love to hear what you would like to hear about.
Absolutely.
And we will talk about it.
We are open for feedback.
Absolutely. Not constructive criticism, though. All right. You know what, folks, thanks for joining us. And Chris, thanks for sending this over. I think it's a great, I'm going to thank your coworker, because I think there's some really great stuff just to think into this. For grads and for, like you said, for everyone. Folks, so glad you tuned in. Leave some comments, ask some questions, share this with friends and family, please. And if you want to get in touch with Chris or I, you can search us out on social media platforms, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and such, and connect with us there. And thanks again, Al Rattan from Lead from the Driver's Seat and Chris Baker from Maximize Your Potential. And we will be back next week with another episode. Have an amazing day.
Yes, sir. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to this episode of Maximize Your Potential podcast with myself, Chris Baker. If you enjoyed this content, I encourage you to subscribe so you get notifications as each new episode is released. And then if you could rate and review it on your podcast platform, that would be much appreciated. In addition, share the podcast with as many people as you think would benefit from these messages. I want to continually bring you these messages of hope and application that you can put into your life so you can maximize your potential every day. In the show notes is all my contact details if you want to reach out to me. Be more than happy to help you, and I look forward to catching up with you soon. Have a magical day, and bye for now.